There's no music in his life, probably, had it not been for me. Because his dad and mom cared. They'll sit down and listen. They like to sit down and listen to anybody.
Everybody.
Part of it is the cemetery. Part of that farm over there come off of that farm over there, the cemetery out there did.
And what do you raise here now?
Oh, we don't try to raise anything, only just a general line of garden. Just potatoes, cabbage, tomatoes, peppers, beets, onions, lettuce.
You can get all that stuff at the store. How come?
Little bit of corn.
Why do you grow all that stuff?
Well, we use some of all of it, and what we don't use, why, we give it to the family. Some of my family, some of her family, some of my wife's family, they come here every year, and they'll all work together. My wife will work, and them will work together, and they'll just count it all up and then divide it all up. And
wouldn't it be easier just go to the store, though, and not have foolish old garden?
Oh, gosh, yes, I could go to the store, but the bad thing of it is, Mike, you can't go to the store anymore and buy anything that you need after you bring it home. You used to butcher a hog or kill a chicken or kill a beef. You couldn't wait till it got done. It smelled too good at cooking. Now you go to the store and buy a piece of chicken or a mess of pork or a mess of beef and bring it home. You got to go outside while it cooks. You can't stand it in the house while it cooks. It's not fit to eat after you get it. We didn't used to feed our coon dogs meat that you buy at the stores now. It's the quality of your merchandise today is the worst that the American people have ever experienced in the history of this nation. There is no doubt about it. There's no argument to it. It's the worst. They'll tell you it's the best. The manufacturers will tell you that. But it's you can go and test it, prove it for yourself. You raise something or get something out of somebody's farm and you cook it and have some meat or vegetables or whatever it is and eat it. And then you go down to the store and buy the same thing and eat it and compare them. And then you tell me which one's the best. So they can tell you whatever they want to tell you, but you know better because you experience it every day that you go to the store and buy something. I don't know the times that I went to the Kroger store, to the Foodland store, to the IGA store, bought stuff, brought it home. Mabel said, "My God, come and look at this stuff." You couldn't stand it when it was opened up. The smell of it, meat, chicken, beef, pork, whatever you'd buy. Take it back to the store. A lot of times I'd call them up. I'd say, "You want me to bring this stuff back? Or do you want me to just throw it away?" They'd say, "Just throw it away." They knowed before they sold it that it was bad. But they was hoping that somebody would buy it. It would be too far away from the store to pay them to bring it back, and they'd keep it, and they'd get rid of it, and they'd get the money out of it anyway. Now, that's what's going on in your stores today. It didn't used to be that way. People used to be honest during that. A merchant used to, he wouldn't sell you stuff like that. I can remember a time when there wasn't no such a thing as going to a store and getting a piece of bad meat. If they had some meat that got a little bit bad on, they throwed it out. They took a loss, they throwed it out. But they don't today. They'll put it right out on the shelf. If somebody comes along and picks it up and happens to live 20 miles away, he takes it home before he puts it on the cook or fry, he sees it's spoiled, he got 20 miles to take that $2 or $3 worth of meat back. He can't afford to do it, so he forgets about it. They got the money out of the meat. He goes hungry. He gets some place he can give him a good mess of meat. It's true. They ain't no...
I know.
You raising any beef now?
No, we haven't raised no beef for a long time. We used to raise beef. We used to raise our own hogs. And when my mother was living, she kept around 100 head of chickens all the time. Anytime you wanted chicken, fried chicken, or an old chicken to cook, you had it. We had eggs. That one morning my father, I heard him tell this, said he got ready to go to town. She had one of those old-time market baskets. Did you ever see one of them? Long, you know, made long. They'd hold about a half a bushel. She had that thing full of eggs. He said it almost pulled a bale off the basket when he picked it up on his arm, and he'd carry it little ways on one arm and keep changing back and forth. I forget how many dozen of eggs he said she had in that basket. Said, "These got this many eggs, we just can't make use of. Take them to the store." He took them down to the store, and they said, "We'll give you 15 cents a dozen for them eggs, if you want to take it and trade. If you don't want to take it and trade, merchandise, in the place of the eggs, well, we can't handle them at all." He said, "Well, I don't need that much today, but take the eggs." And they took the eggs and gave him a due bill. You've heard of due bill. They'd give you a due bill for what the balance was, and you took that with you when you went back. And it showed how much they owed you. So you bought your groceries and they took your due bill, and if you still had more there than your groceries come to, they took it off and left the balance on there. And you took it back till you dealt it out with them. So that's what he did. So he told her when he come back home, he said, "I wouldn't carry him down to town anymore for that kind of a price anyway at all." He said, "If you have any more surplus eggs, if you can't give them some of the neighbors, throw them out. I'm not going to carry any more eggs to town." It's 2.5 miles to town from where we lived, 5-mile trip. You carried eggs down, you carried a load of groceries back. So you had a load both ways.
So you're not raising beef here now?
No.
You used to raise it. What about this heifer out here?
No, we'll not beef her.
What's her name?
We call her Pet. She's got too good a stock in her just to kill for a beef. She's a full-blooded Pole Hereford. I'm going to keep her. And I'm going to, if I can find them, I'm going to find me 4 or 5 more. And buy me a few more. I had, I had a couple cows here, and I had a bull, and I had calf or two, and I had 5 head of ponies, and had a horse, and had a bunch of rabbits, had one time 30 head of hogs, and had a bunch of chickens, and the hawks and the wild game got to eating the chickens, so they got them down, but we didn't have but a few, and we just ended up killing them and eating them. And the hogs got to the place that they were costing me more to feed them than what I was getting out of what I sold, you know. I was raising pigs and selling them. So I just sold all of them. And then I started selling my horse. I lost my horse. It got old and it died. But I sold the ponies, sold the cows, sold the calf, sold the bull. Then I had this heifer, and it was just a calf. And I couldn't get what I thought it would be worth at the time I sold the other stuff, so I just kept it. And the longer I kept it, why, the more it got to be worth. And I just like to fool with stuff like that. I just love stock. That was always my greatest ambition, was to have me a stock farm where I could, not big, something where I could keep 100 head of cattle or so. And that was always what I wanted to do. But I never got to do it. I worked in the coal mines, I worked on the railroad, I ended up working in the glass factory, and I cut timber when I was a boy growing up. My father was a timber man. He worked in the timber all of his life. And I pulled a cross-cut saw many and many a day in snow up to my knees, and sometimes deeper, cutting timber. And there wasn't any easy places or any soft spots in my life growing up, I promise you that. My mother died when us kids were all small, and it was rough going from there on. If my mother had lived, things would have been a lot different. But that made all the difference in whether we had a good life or whether we had a bad one. So we ended up having the bad one. And I went out when I was 10 years old with my father in the woods. And he'd put me on the lower side, he'd cut a tree. Those timber cutters would cut a swath of timber up a hillside, and they didn't fall their timber right straight down the hill. They'd fall them, the trees on this side, they'd fall them across till the tops would lay across there, out of the way, so they didn't have to fool with them. And they cut the trees on that side over to this side, and the logs laid right down that road where they cut the swath, right down that swath where they cut a swath up the hill. And they didn't have to fool with the treetops on each side. And then when they cut that swath up, they moved over and they went up the hill with another swath. And where he cut those trees kind of quartering around the hill, he'd put me on the lower side because I couldn't pull the saw back up through the log, pulling uphill on it. And he put me on the lower side because he could pull the saw up. And all I had to do was just guide the saw, and he could push it back through. And it scared me to death, because when you cut them logs off, a lot of times they'd roll down the hill maybe for a long ways before they'd roll over again a treetop and stop or something, you know, where you was going to, before you skidded them out. And it scared me to death. But he knew it, I'd take care of that. When he saw it down there to the place where it was liable to break, he took the handle off of the saw on my side, and he told me to get over on the upper side. And he'd saw it with one handle, and with the saw with the other handle off. He'd saw that off himself, finished sawing it on off. And the log would break loose and maybe take off down the hill and roll, force me up the road before it would stop, down that swath where we'd cut up the hill. Then they'd make a haul road, you know what a haul road is, right up the center of that, and they just hook on the logs from each side, pull them in, make up a trail, whatever a team could haul down the mountain, and hook to them, and away they went with them. That's...
That was your education, huh? Working in the woods.
Mike, there's no point in being ashamed, I reckon, of something a fellow can't help. Well, but I never got through grade school.
Yeah. Sure, if your mother was dead, you had to go to work.
Huh?
If your mother died when you were a kid and you had to go to work.
I had to go to work, and I, like I tell you, when I was 10 years old, and I'd go to school when it'd come a time that there'd be a break, that the weather be so bad you couldn't get out. To cut timber, I'd go to school. If something happened that my father had to do something else for a few days and leave the woods, I went to school. And